Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by our friend Trey Wallace from Outkick.com, covers the SEC, coming up at 8:30. Preds pick to click at 8:45 as well. The Nashville Predators back on the ice tonight, taking on Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals. We'll have that coming up for you at 8:45 today here on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, more players added to the COVID list yesterday for the Titans. Jayon Brown and Denico Autry added to the COVID-19 list yesterday for the Titans. They join Taylor Lewan, Nate Davis, Kendall Lamb, Julio Jones, Buster Skrin, Bud Dupree, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina on the COVID list right now for the Titans. So not good news on that regard. Now, the NFL changing their policies yesterday as well, after the CDC recommending the quarantine period going from 10 days to 5 days, the NFL following suit and making some changes to their protocols as well, which is a big deal and could be a big deal as soon as this week. Carson Wentz testing positive for the Colts yesterday. And for a couple hours, everybody just thought, all right, Carson Wentz, he's not going to be in there. He's unvaccinated. He's not going to have a chance to come back and play this week for the Colts. And then the NFL changes their policies. And now Carson Wentz does have a chance to come back on Sunday to play for the Colts. But the good news for the Titans on that front is everybody that I just mentioned that's on the COVID-19 list for the Titans theoretically has a chance to be available and to play coming up on Sunday against Miami. So good news on that front.
I mean, conspiracy theorists who hate the Colts, and you know, the last couple of years I've come to realize there are a lot of conspiracy theorists in the world. Man, they must be just fuming. I mean, like if you are somehow – like I don't know if Elijah Campbell or Adam Vingan hate the Colts, but if – like they're both Saints fans. Sure. Of course, the Saints just, you know, basically lost their chance at the playoffs because of a bunch of players on the COVID list, including their whole quarterback room. They had Ian Book running around like, please sack me, please sack me. And they're basically toast now. And, you know, the Colts, who I still think were going, would have made the playoffs anyway, because they were going to beat the Jaguars at the end. But the Colts were about to play without Carson Wentz. That was officially what was happening yesterday. I mean, a lot of news stories coming out. Carson Wentz is out 10 days, unvaccinated, 10 days, that's it. And then it's like 2 hours later, actually, you know, it's just 5 days. So he can play Sunday now. So, you know, there's some people that are be upset about this. And look, I don't really have a big – burning desire to get into a COVID argument, but the CDC changed from 10 to 5. The NFL quickly adopted that. And this is very transparently the NFL saying we cannot have a bunch of star players missing and just jacking up the playoffs. And so now, you know, 5 days and you don't have to test out. That's a big point of this. It's not just that it's from 10 to 5 days. You have to test out. You just have to be asymptomatic. And of course, for vax players, you're still in a situation where you can test out in one day. You can take two tests. You can take the CT test, which is how contagious you are, and still test out. So, I mean, I think, you know, this is going to alter things significantly. And all of a sudden, well, I mean, look, there's some Titans fans, I'm sure, like, gosh, they were going to lose to the Raiders, probably. I mean, with Sam Ellinger, probably. And then there's less pressure on the Dolphins game. But at the same time, your team, if you're a Titans fan, everyone who has been on the list up until through yesterday now can be back more easily, whether vaxxed or not. And again, most of the Titans team is vaxxed.
And now the question is, do more names continue to get added to the list today and as the week moves on, if you're the Titans? Because, I mean, obviously two more added to the list yesterday. I didn't even mention, you know, Cody Hollister put on the practice squad COVID list as well. So it's not just, you know, all of a sudden come to a stop. If you're the Titans here, you're wondering how many more could this affect? How many more has it affected at this point? And, you know, if there are more names on the list today, is there any chance as the week goes on that they're able to get off in time for the game coming up on Sunday? I mean, that's only if we're going to have to keep our eye. Yeah, only if vax, and that's what we're going to have to keep our eye on this week.
But yeah, the Hollister thing is a good point to bring up because, you know, if this wasn't the change potentially, and we don't know exactly how things are going to go with testing and all that, but you could have been a little bit strapped at receiver, and Cody Hollister could have been an obvious call up, and in fact, this could have finally the dream, the Titans Nation dream of Golden Tate, you know, playing in a game. How about Golden Tate and Mason Kinsey together on the outside?
Yeah, buddy.
Know, that probably isn't going to happen now. They're probably – but, you know, it seems with the Titans that the offensive line room and the receiver room were the two rooms where you've had sort of outbreaks. But, again, it looks like most, if not all, of the guys we've already seen on the list should be able to go Sunday. Now, we don't know if Taylor Lewan's back will let him go, but on the COVID front should be able to go.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I call BS changing protocol midseason. What about all the other teams that had to deal with COVID and the 10-day quarantine? It just seems completely unfair to change it midseason. Like if they would have done it at the beginning of the season, it could be a completely different outcome for a lot of teams.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more. I mean, right now we have a variant that is not just ripping through the league, it's ripping through the country, the world, like a forest fire. It's a variant that, you know, started elsewhere, came to this country. It's an incredibly transmissible variant. Also, so far, and science changes. This is the argument against that, is that science changes daily. Okay. Science changes daily. And you have to leave it to scientists to study these things and try to make the safest and most logical determinations. But yes, that's going to result in change protocols. If the CDC changes something from 10 to 5, why would a sports league not look at that and say, maybe we should change? I mean, it's so the fairness thing, look, it's tough for like the Saints, a great example of a team. I mean, the Browns, recent teams that were on the front end of this variant and it cost them. Not changing because it would be unfair is incredibly stupid, would be incredibly stupid.
Well, then let's not sugarcoat it either. Like the bottom line with some of this is it's about the playoffs too, right? I mean, we yes. talked about it yesterday. Had things continued the way they were going and the protocols remained the way that they were, the playoffs are going to get screwed up by this. Like there's going to be teams or a team or teams that just have players that can't go. Like, can you imagine what would happen if, you know, like, Tom Brady test positive for COVID-19 and it's like Cowboys Bucks and you don't have Dak Prescott and Tom Brady. Like, I mean, that's still a possibility, I guess, but you're trying as a league to mitigate that as much as you possibly can. So I don't think there's any question about it. Like, had this remained the same, the playoffs were definitely going to get screwed up by this.
I mean, the only, obviously it's, you know, asymptomatic. There's certainly some gray area there, right?
Sure.
You know, got the sniffles. Nah, I'm good. You know, it's like concussion tests where guys take the initial test and talk extremely slowly so that they could possibly pass one later. This has happened in football. You know, I think the only way something like that would happen, you know, the targeted testing is still weird to me because it's like you just pick a random position. So it's like, okay, date is it, you know, right before a playoff game and you just pick the Bucs quarterback room. The quarterback position is the targeted testing. I mean, other than that, you know, I think this makes it much more likely that your key players are going to be available for the playoffs.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans looking ahead to the matchup against the Dolphins on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Tomorrow, make sure you're tuning in for the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game, ESPN 94.9, and our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits, as the Tennessee Vols take on Purdue, coming up at Nissan Stadium at 2 o'clock. Coverage of the game is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. You can find tickets available for the game at MusicCityBowl.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
See how heat does come out of the top of your head? Look at it, just coming off of Nate's head there. That's where it escapes. If you have heat in your body and you want to let it out, you take your hat off.
Yeah.
You know, what you could do is you could have a barbecue on that head.
Nate's got a lot of room to let it out.
Yeah. I mean, you could cook like some burgers on there. Look at, now you're talking. I mean, this is football. When you got steam coming out of your head and your mouth, now you're talking football. You're controlling that offensive line. This is what it's all about. It's a playoff game. If you win, you go to the championship. Whoa, what are you talking about?
Oh, yes, the great John Madden. Awesome commentary. Unfortunately, losing John Madden yesterday at the age of 85. The great one, John Madden. Great football coach, great football broadcaster, legend of the game. Gone yesterday at the age of 85. Really sad to see that yesterday, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, sad to see. It's been, I hope that he was able to see, which I have not, but hope the documentary that just came out before he passed, the outpouring for him has been great to see. But rest in peace, John Madden, goated. And, you know, a name, like, seriously, how many names in, like, sports are totally recognizable for, you know, 50 plus or about 50 years of sports fans, multiple generations. It's a very short list.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in says, this love fest for Bud Dupree has got to stop. What does the guy have, like 9 tackles and 3 sacks on the season? He's not even the best pass rusher on his own team.
So I think Indy Ben sounds like a Titans fan who's like, Carson Wentz, he sucks. Or, you know, like Jonathan Taylor, come on, he can't hold Derrick Henry's job. I mean, if you watch, if you've watched Bud Dupree all year, first of all, coming off an ACL, and then he had another injury, and certainly the injuries moving forward for the price tag. I mean, that's, I think that's the biggest thing. Can he get past that completely? But, you know, when he finally, I think, got past things, was in the Kansas City game, and you saw he had a strip sack, but beyond that, he was very effective rushing the passer in that game, LA as well. And so he doesn't have stats, but he is a very important player, Indy Ben. So I don't know how much you play after play, game after game, watch the Titans. I think if you did, and you'd carefully watched 48, you would understand how important he is. I mean, Quentin Nelson doesn't have stats either, but, you know, no one's going to argue that point, right?
Well, in the last couple of games, I mean, it's been pretty clear to me he's getting healthier out there. I mean, he had the knee stuff, like you said, coming off the ACL, had the abdominal injury. Now, you know, he's on the COVID list right now, so hopefully he gets over that and comes back and is available on Sunday. But physically, he looks healthy out there right now and has been explosive. So, look, the numbers, we talked about that earlier this week. The numbers are not going to jump off the page at you at Bud Dupree. You know, coming into this season, we were talking about, like, does Bud Dupree need to get to double-digit sacks to justify how much he's getting paid? You know, that part of it, I think, is a different discussion. I think he's coming into his own right now and looks a little bit more like the Bud Dupree that we saw in Pittsburgh now that he's starting to get healthier with this team. So if this is going to be what he is moving forward, I think the numbers are going to start to come for Bud Dupree.
I agree. I mean, it's just a big compliment to Landry and, you know, the whole thing, the four of them working together, you know, kind of two interior, two exterior, but also you can bring Bud Dupree inside. You can put Autry outside. You can move them to different places and they can be effective rushing from different angles. That's as good as anything the Titans have to me in terms of aspect of a football team when they are at their best. I think that's been, other than Derrick Henry running the ball at a high level, healthy, and those guys rushing the passer would be the two best aspects of this football team.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler texting in says, all right, I've got to defend the revenge game idea. Players that are elite athletes use whatever they can to push themselves to try to get to a new level. If there's no such thing as external factors giving people extra motivation, then athletes like Kobe and Michael Jordan wouldn't mention constantly that they used any perceived slight as extra motivation to get better or to play better.
My God, man. My God. This is not hard. We've gone through this. Is this Jared's burner? Who is this?
This is Tyler.
Michael Jordan being obsessed and driven to beat the Pistons is that was a years in the making process. Of course, motivation matters. Of course, it drives athletes. But in a one-week situation with a quarterback, Ryan Tannehill better be max prepared every week. Like, honestly, I would have a problem with him if I was the Titans and he prepared way more this week because it was the Dolphins. No, dude, you get your rest, you get your nutrition, and you get your film in, and you do your reps in practice, and you prepare the same way every week, and you execute with focus and precision. If you want to be like, oh, I kill the Dolphins all week, great. What's that going to do for you at that position in 1 week? There's a huge difference between a long process or like an even one off season of I am driven to prove people wrong or to be the best or whatever it is. Of course, that's a factor. But how can that be applied to a 1 week game prep situation for a quarterback? I think it's ridiculous.
Well, and it's like you said, it's one thing if you're a linebacker and you're hitting people and you're doing this, his job is to make the throw. So you're either making the throw and making the right decision or you're not. Like, this is not some, like Michael Jordan, you've got the ball in your hands every play. It's basketball. It's different. I mean, it's a different thing with Michael Jordan than it is with a quarterback in football. Now, look, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Do I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is driven by things that have happened in Green Bay? Yes. Do I think Tom Brady finds ways to be driven all the time? Yes. Look, I think Ryan Tannehill's driven. I think Ryan Tannehill probably hears the noise that's been on him this year and says, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to go out there and prove you wrong and that I am a good quarterback in this league and that I can lead this team to victories. Now, to your point, does that affect the way that you play or prepare on a given Sunday against a particular opponent? I don't think so.
I'm going to throw this ball through Nick Westbrook-Akina's head and show the Dolphins who's boss around here. Yeah, like, you know, Jordan wants to go dunk on Lambeer's head. And maybe he goes a little harder and embraces the contact and does. Now, if Tannehill breaks the pocket Sunday, you know, maybe he has a little extra oomph or something on a put in his shoulder, which he should slide, of course, but he probably won't. But it's just I don't understand – like how with that position in a short period of time, you know, I think Tannehill's performance in Nashville in general, you could say that's a guy driven by being discarded at his last stop. I would definitely buy that. And by the way, his performance overall in Nashville has been very good still. I would buy that as like all the preparation he's done in the offseason and in a daily, weekly basis is part of a driven player who wants to be great, but also, yes, wants to prove people wrong. Sure. Again, it's just like in this particular way, I just don't see how, like, go out there and read the defense and make accurate throws. All you got to do. Well, look, it's very easy.
And there's two different parts to this conversation. Do I believe that maybe deep down there's a little bit more motivation to just shove it to the Dolphins than it would be if he was taking on, like, the Las Vegas Raiders this week? Yes, I do. Sure. I think Tannehill absolutely wants to beat the Dolphins, and there's some extra motivation there for him to do that. There's a difference between having, you know, an extra motivation to want to beat a team and that affecting the way that you play on a Sunday. Like, your job as a quarterback is to still deliver the football accurately and make good decisions. Like, you could make the argument, like, if you get too hyped up, you make bad decisions and you throw the ball where you shouldn't throw the ball. So,
exactly. Like,
those are two different things in this conversation to me.
No, exactly. It can be a detriment to you if you let emotion drive you. And at other positions, I mean, if you're Jeff Simmons, you got snubbed by the Pro Bowl, hey, let that emotion, every time you slam into the guy across from you, use it. Great.
Yeah.
How does it help you as a quarterback? I would say there's better chance for harm than help.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Trey Wallace from Outkick.com. He covers the SEC. We'll get into Tennessee's matchup against Purdue. Also get into the college football playoff as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning, talking Vols and all things SEC. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHockey.com, and welcome in our good friend Trey Wallace from Outkick.com. Trey, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Guys, doing good this morning. Hope everybody had a good holiday and getting ready for the new year. So we're good. Lots of football to be played still.
Lots of football to be played. Trey, we appreciate you joining us this morning. And we'll start with this. The SEC currently 0-4 in bowl games. So are they unraveling before our very eyes, Trey Wallace? Is the SEC finished in your mind?
It's such the way these games are being lost as well is something that really stands out to me. I mean, you know, Auburn just kind of fumbling things around yesterday, and you know, you look at the Missouri and the, you know, the Florida games, and you know, last night Mike Leach just taking a whooping. It ain't falling apart. Who cares? They're getting their money. The SEC is not looking good right now on the national level, but that'll probably change starting tomorrow with Tennessee. I don't know if South Carolina can beat the Tar Heels, so we'll find out.
I mean, I'm putting it all on Cincinnati, Michigan in the final based on this information. You know, I mean, I've seen enough. It's over, man. Trey, let's go to the Tennessee game. Are we going to have a good game tomorrow in Nissan Stadium? I'm less optimistic of that with David Bell not participating for Purdue.
Well, I mean, also, Joe, you take out Milton Wright, you know, who's not going to be playing in the bowl game either. I mean, who's Aiden O'Connell going to be throwing the ball to for Purdue? I mean, you know, they don't run the ball extremely well. You know, they're going to try. That's what they're going to do. They're going to line up and try to run the ball and then play it off with the pass. But, you know, I look at this football game just on paper, and I look at Tennessee's offense and the way that they've been rolling lately, Joe. And you know this, when you have the options like you do with Javonte Payton and Velus and Cedric, you know, at the wide receiver spot, and, you know, it kind of offsets what maybe they don't have at the running back position, you know, that, you know, because they're going to have Jabari Small and Jalen Wright rushing the football tomorrow. But I kind of look at this thing with, you know, with Hendon Hooker, where if they are able to play with that tempo and convert some third downs, convert some, maybe some second and longs to extend drives, and get Purdue just off balance, then I don't see it being that close. And I mean that by, you know, Tennessee maybe by 14 to 17 points when it's all over. I just don't know if Purdue has enough weapons that are on the roster right now that can keep up with the Volunteers on offense. So that's kind of a matchup that I'm looking for. You know, I want to see if Tennessee is going to pressure them downfield, you know, and test Purdue's secondary. You know, what do they do with the running attack with Jabari Small? You know, can they make do? Because you know Purdue's going to attack that Cade Mays spot if he's not playing. So tomorrow will be interesting because, you know, I just think Tennessee offensively is so much better right now in the situation of who they have on their roster compared to Purdue. That's what makes this game feel like it might be a little bit of a stretch for the Boilermakers.
Trey, how impressed are you by what Josh Heupel has been able to do in year one with this Vols team and this roster that he inherited?
You know, Robbie, for what they – look, we talk about this a lot, but for what they lost – for an offensive scheme that is complicated and for guys to, you know, I go back to that Florida game. After the Florida game, Josh Heupel pulled Cedric Tillman, Javonte Payton, and Velus Jones to the side next to the buses. And he told them, hey, look, we're going with you guys. You are our three core guys, a wide receiver. You are veterans. You're who we're going with. We're no more going to dabble in, you know, trying to rotate these younger guys in to see what they can do. We got to start winning games. I honestly think that was the turning point of the season because you've now seen what they've been able to do at that position with Hendon Hooker throwing the football, you know, who came in that during that Pitt game. So I look at the way this offensive scheme is being able to run right now. Even, I mean, look, they went to Missouri and Tyon Evans and Jabari went off, and then, you know, Evans gets hurt, you know, when he doesn't play as much. But then, you know, the offense doesn't miss a beat. You know, they come out and beat up on South Carolina. The way they played against Kentucky, that game will stand out to me just offensively, the way they played. So you've seen the veteran leadership of this group step up, and the older players, you know, kind of make a statement when it comes to this offense. And for Josh Heupel and them to get these guys ready and for them to understand it, you know, two or three games into the season, okay, now they're kind of rolling here. I think that's a testament to what the coaches have done. I also think it's a testament to the players buying into the system and learning it. So, you know, I commend Josh Heupel and his staff for what they've done this year in this offense. And I'm excited to see what they can do in year two, especially knowing who their quarterback is, which, you know, look, let's be honest about Tennessee. The quarterback situation has not been pleasant over the last 5 years. And for Tennessee to know that they have a guy coming back next year that they can rely on, I think that's going to go leaps and bounds to make the offense even better next season. They just got to go find some wide receivers.
Well, Trey, I want to get your assessment also of the early signing class, you know, basically the signing class, and what this staff did late, because I still think that's the biggest question, big picture, in terms of, you know, Tennessee coming back all the way is, you know, can you get it to the point where you are battling with the big boys again? But what do you think the late flurry means, and how do you think it looks moving forward?
I think it was good when they closed the way they did on the defensive side of the football. I think when you land a player like Tyree West or Pierce, or, you know, you're able to get Williams at running back, you know, that morning, you exceeded expectations, because that, you know, Tennessee fans went into the day like, oh man, okay, I don't know how this is going to go. It's probably going to be bad. We don't know what kind of recruiters Josh Heupel and them are. And then they come out and they land three solid players on that day to wrap it up, you know, to go along with the rest of the class. I think, you know, and you know this, guys, that in-state has got to be the priority, you know, starting yesterday. They've got to do better when it comes to landing certain talent, you know, in the mid-state area. You know, I get it when it comes to, you know, the Memphis area and stuff along those lines. Players are going to make other kind of decisions. But I think Tennessee, and they've done a lot of that, you know, in their recruiting. They've made a lot of stops around the state, you know, and they focused on the 23 class because they knew there was only so much they were going to be able to do with the 2022 class. Because when you come in that late and you've got to reshuffle your whole board, pretty much Tennessee staff came in and just wiped the whiteboard. That's what they did when it came to this recruiting class. So they pieced it together. I thought they did a darn decent job for what they were given. But now the focus is on what goes on in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, and take, for instance, a player like Walter Nolan. You know, I don't buy that much into the whole Walter Nolan, oh, it's crazy, he didn't go to Tennessee thing because he plays 10 minutes from the campus. People forget, or maybe they just don't want to see, you know, Walter Nolan's played in Florida. He's played in Mississippi. He's lived in Memphis. You know, it's not like this kid is some homegrown talent. You know, that was a kid who came in, you know, who played 11 games at a high school in East Tennessee, and then he dipped out. So I think, you know, too much was made of Walter Nolan and the Tennessee, you know, hometown type of deal. But I will say they don't need to be striking out on some of the mainstays in the state of Tennessee next year when it comes to high school recruiting.
Trey Wallace from Outkick on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, last thing for you here. Obviously, the college football playoff coming up a little bit later this week. Alabama taking on Cincinnati, Georgia taking on Michigan. Like most people expecting a rematch in the national title game between Alabama and Georgia. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, if that's the case, what kind of a chance do you give Georgia in that game, given what we saw in the SEC title game a few weeks ago?
You know, I'll say this Orange Bowl matchup is going to be interesting, because if if Stetson Bennett is sitting in the pocket and he's taking hits, you know, from Aiden Hutchinson or, you know, if that Michigan defensive line gets after Georgia's offensive line like what happened in Atlanta with them, then I think that it's going to be a struggle. If Georgia can't establish a running game, and, you know, I think they had 30 carries for, I think it was a 125 in Atlanta against Alabama. If they can't establish a running game, that could be there's going to be a problem in Miami for the Bulldogs. Because, you know, if you get down 14-0, something along those lines to Michigan, if Stetson Bennett the type of quarterback that's going to pass your way out of, you know, the problems that they're in. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe we saw JT Daniels in that game in Miami. So I'm very interested to see how they rush the football. I know a lot of people like to make it about Stetson Bennett, but if they don't come out of the gates, you know, blasting on all cylinders, you know, I could see there being a problem down there. I don't see there being a problem in Dallas. I think Alabama should come out. You know, there's going to be some trickeration from Cincinnati. They're going to try to do some things to catch the Alabama secondary off guard, who hasn't been, you know, who haven't been extremely good this year. But I'm just very interested to see how that Miami, you know, that Orange Bowl plays out. Because if it does, we get Georgia and Alabama again, you know, I think I'm taking the Tide in that one, you know, if it were to play out one more time. But they got to get there first, guys. So we'll see what Georgia does on Friday. And, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, you should probably just go ahead and book your travel in Indianapolis.
Trey Wallace from OutKick has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So, Trey, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, brother.
Hey, guys, thanks so much. Y'all have a great rest of the week. Happy New Year to you.
Absolutely. You as well. Trey Wallace, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, and it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Finally, some Nashville Predators hockey in action tonight. They're taking on the Washington Capitals. Be caller number one at 615-737-1025. Caller number one, 615-737-1025. Your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators in action tonight. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators in action tonight, taking on the Washington Capitals. They'll be on the ice for the first time since December 17th against Chicago. So almost 2 weeks of action, or excuse me, no action for the Predators on the ice. Back at it tonight, hopefully, if everything continues to go well from a COVID-19 protocol standpoint. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. Joe Rexrode in first place with 8 correct answers. The listeners and Robbie Stanley tied at 5 correct answers. Michelle Knezovic at 3. So with that in mind, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Kyle from Cedar Hill. Kyle, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, doing pretty good. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you on here with us. So Kyle, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators, the goal scorer against Washington?
I'm going to have to go with my kid's favorite scorer, and Matt Duchene. I think he's going to be ready to come out kind of hot tonight. So that's who we're going to go with tonight.
Kyle, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Kyle going with Matt Duchene tonight for the Predators coming up against the Washington Capitals. David Poile did join Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and says Matt Duchene has been practicing. I would look for him to be in there tonight. Probably going to be playing on a line with Mikael Granlund and Philip Forsberg as well. So Matt Duchene off the board, the selection from Kyle. I am up first in our rotation today, Joe Rexrode, and I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg. I'll go Philip Forsberg.
You sure it's your pick first?
Yeah, are you sure, Robbie?
I'm 1,000% sure. 1,000,000,000% sure. Dang. So I'm going Forsberg. Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you are next. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Okay, thank God I was second. I am just really tanking in pick to click, guys. Not doing so hot in this. But I think Ryan Johansson is going to be hot tonight and is going to find the back of the net. So that's who I am picking. Going back to my roots, Ryan Johansson, please score a goal for me tonight.
Ryan Johansson, Michelle's selection. So Duchene, Forsberg, and Johansson off the board. Rexrode, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
You know, with a little bit of a lead, it's the holidays. I'm in the holiday spirit, at least until we get to New Year's Eve. I'm gonna go off the board a little bit and just take a run at how about a little Yakov Trenin?
Yakov Trenin. I tell you what, I've gone off the board with Trenin once this year, and it worked.
And it worked for you.
Probably not
a bad pick. Wow.
Oh,
Vrabel chiming in.
You better be yelling at Johansson to shoot the puck. People have been yelling that for years around here, Michelle.
That is true.
I don't do good at losing, so he just really has to because I am just in so far last right now. So far. Joe, I think you should pick UC Saros. I think that'd be a nice pick. A goalie goal.
At some
goal.
Point, when my lead is overwhelming, I will do that.
Going with Saros for the goalie goal. So that has been today's edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Kyle, our listener, picking Matt Duchene. I'm going with Philip Forsberg. Michelle selecting Ryan Johansson and Joe Rexrode with Yakov Trenin as the Nashville Predators take on the Washington Capitals tonight. Peter Laviolette on the other side tonight. So the first time the Predators will be taking on a Peter Laviolette coach team since he was fired by the Predators a couple of seasons ago. I'm interested to see, number one, what does their lineup look like tonight? Obviously, you know, Sisson's on the COVID list right now. Tommy Novak on the COVID list. Roman Josi, by the way, pretty big deal that he's on the COVID list as well. So I wouldn't anticipate that we're going to see any of those guys tonight, but we'll wait and see what happens on that front. Ryan Johansson back in there for the first time in a little bit. Matt Duchene coming back from injury as well. So you feel okay about the forward group heading into this game? Obviously, Joe, anytime that you may not have Roman Josi, not a good thing for this Nashville Predators team, particularly taking on Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, not ideal. And let's not forget Peter Laviolette. I mean, what's he been doing this week? Push-ups. Oh, yeah. There's no easy way out. Laviolette. He's got, you know, David Poyle picture on his wall and stuff. You know, the extra motivation, man. But in all seriousness, it's a very good team. It's just great to have hockey back. Of course, also I'm knocking right now because obviously yesterday you had more, all the Canada cancellations, everything, but I think we're all good to go. And it'll be interesting to see if this team can, even though the lineup, as you just mentioned, has kind of been juggled a different way, if this team can just pick up the way it's been playing, which was so impressive there before the unwanted break.
Maybe we'll get a barn burner tonight. I mean, there was some action yesterday in the NHL, some high-scoring action, 5-4 between the Lightning and Canadiens, 6-3 between Vegas and the Kings, 8-7 the final score between San Jose and Arizona. Arizona scored 7 goals and still lost.
That's a month. Incredible. That's a month for the Coyotes. Holy crap.
It really is. Maybe some barn burner in action tonight. We'll see what happens on that front. Who do you think's been doing more like chin-ups this week, Peter Laviolette or Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, man, I don't know, like running up hills and, yeah, just, gosh, so much like Survivor jamming over the stereo. I'm sure Laviolette's a big Eye of the Tiger guy. I mean, there's no way that he wasn't like rocking out to that with a mullet in like 1982, right?
So, I think you're probably right.
I don't know, man. Boy, watch out, Dolphins. Watch out, Preds.
By the way, the
motivation, man.
The Winter Classic coming up on New Year's Day, coming up on Saturday. So that's going to be the Blues taking on the Wild at Target Field in Minnesota. The high is -3. Low is -15. So they're going to still play, according to the NHL. But like they could be playing in -10 degree weather out there at Target Field. It makes the environment in Dallas a couple years ago seem like a nice warm blanket when compared to -10.
Well, no ice concerns. The concern is that everyone else is also covered in ice. But, man, that is brutal. Oh, it gets so bad up there.
Yeah. I don't think hopefully when the outdoor game comes here in Nissan Stadium, we're not talking about -3. Now, I wouldn't mind, you know, 30, 35 that day. Be pretty nice out there at Nissan Stadium. I don't know if we need to go in the minus territory.
Is 42 okay? Can we do
42 is fine.
That okay? Yeah. Probably you know, like 72.
You know, they played these games in California before where it was 70, 75 degrees. They'll be fine. The ice not going to be a problem.
Yeah, they make it work.
But, hey, maybe we can still find some tickets, get up here in Minnesota, and just freeze our butts off on New Year's Day to start the new year off. Be fun.
It'd be better than most New Year's Eves.
Wow. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.